What's your name? He said, I should tell you my name is Abraham. I don't know whether I get the point. Listen. I want us to focus on something. What was Abraham doing? Let me ask you a question. When he went to go and fight to rescue Lot, how many people went with him? His servants that were in his house. Do you know the size of household the man was managing every day? Some of those are your confessions that you don't have work. I'm sorry now. Are you angry? Yeah, you don't have anything you are doing. If you have to report, like my wife is to report into UBA by 7:30 in the morning, and you come back home at night, and you wake up in the morning, Father, thank you for this day. My husband, I love you. I'm going to work. I'm telling you the truth. By the time you reach there, you won't even remember this confession the way they confess. I'm not saying you don't confess positively. I say so. But just that you make it a project to force Isaac to come by force. The day Isaac came, it was not precipitated by the acute exacerbation of confessions by Abraham. You know what caused it? I'll tell you. He was sitting down and he saw three people walking in the desert or in their wilderness. Whether it was a real desert, I don't know. Heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was night. And he said, this is a dangerous zone. Why don't you guys come in? Stay with my household overnight. Then tomorrow you can set on your way. He said, okay. As soon as he settled, I look at him. These are important people and these are tired people. He ordered food to be made for them. It was while they were eating. The Lord looked and said, should we hide what we are about to do from our friend Abraham? Seeing that we have chosen him because he will teach his household and his children after him the will of the Lord. He will teach them righteousness. He says, so that I can bring upon him what I have promised. And Abraham said, by the way, who are you? What am I saying? The Bible says, when we're going to learn about New Testament, it said he entertained angels not being aware. I have said that faith works by love. This faith that is so focused on material objects and not the faith of God. What am I saying? Abraham was busy every day. He wasn't crossing legs. Eh? Isaac. You all hear one child cry. Is that Isaac? No. My Isaac shall come. Lord, I know my Isaac shall come. Let us worship the Lord for Isaac. Isaac is coming. Oh, amen. Praise him. Amen. Some of the things we call faith, listen to me, they are expressions of worry. They are expressions of lack of confidence. Now, listen to me. Listen to what I want to say carefully. I'm not saying stop them. They are better than whining. But please, don't tell me it's the faith of God. Because it's not. Abraham was busy every day. He was cultivating the land and getting richer. You think he's sitting there waiting so that Isaac will meet him in poverty? It wasn't. Yes, Isaac is coming. The promised child and children, they are coming. But please, until they come, the earth is producing children every day. So let's cultivate it. The man was managing his household. He was a very big man, a rich man. He had grown rich. His walk with God was a daily thing. The man did not wait for Isaac for 25 years. He was walking with God every day. When we added together, at the end it was 25 years. What am I saying? When we locate the work of God, it's not something we just do, you know, temporarily. Let us just see. Listen, it's something you occupy yourself with for that day. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. That I tell you, look, every day has an assignment. Every day has the work of God. But how? Now, don't forget where I started from. Life has trials. Life has troubles. Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. When the men were eating manna every day, it was boring. Then we went into the reason why manna is boring. Manna is boring when you are not filled with the life of God. You are not communicating and doing the work of God every day. If indeed you are drunk of the Spirit of Christ, are you getting me? And then you locate the work of God, you will not discover that manna is boring. Let me tell you something if you are a preacher. And I found out that this thing that I say to preachers applies to every part of life. All right? Don't try to do, let me put it like this. You know, maybe you have a company, as an example. Suddenly you want to diversify because you don't want to just stay in one zone. All right? That's what I'm explaining. If you're a preacher, don't make it compulsory to diversify your ministry. What I'm saying is that sometimes the restlessness in the human mind is what causes us to just rise up and start doing many things. Maybe I get up now. I go to Lagos. I see that Winners Chapel or Bishop Oyedepo has a, he has schools. Do you follow? And then I come back to Enugu and say, no, building schools is good, though, and it's effective ministry. Suddenly you come and say, praise the Lord. The Lord has been speaking. I've been telling you about God speaking to people. Yeah, I've warned you about it, all right? So I come and say, praise the Lord. The Lord has been speaking to me that we should start a school for ministers. Amen? All of you will be the first students. You will register. If you love me, say amen. You are going to register. Now, a lot of times, for some people, that's the work God sent them to do. God called Kenneth Hagin, I believe that, and told him to start a Bible school. For some people, you know the problem with them? They are restless. And suddenly they are bored with what they are doing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes. They become bored with what they are doing. So they are looking for more excitement. Listen to me. It's not necessary. If God leads you that way, by many ways, yes, it's good. But please, you don't need to get yourself too excited. What I mean is that if you locate the work of God, manna can appear boring to the person outside. Alright? If you have located your manna, eat it daily. And let me get back to something I was saying. Manna can never be nice and interesting to you if you are not first feeding on the spiritual manna, the word of God. It can't be. The reason why you suddenly wake up and see that this bread is stale and tasting the same is because your relationship with God has become stale. Listen, the Bible says that be careful that you are not overweighed, alright? You are not overwhelmed by the cares of this world. Sometimes, if you're a preacher, listen to this. Sometimes when people are overwhelmed by cares, as I said, these are the pressures. When you don't preach, one man told us once, he had preached and preached and preached. God kept him in Kano. Then when it comes to Lagos, the kind of car they used to welcome at the airport alone, he will know that he has failed. You didn't get my joke. The man thinks he has failed. He said that, my wife was there that day. See, there are times you go and wonder and pray. Say, God, which sin did I commit? No, no, just tell me. Like Job will say, just open up. Let's just know so we can repent. This guy and I started preaching the same time. He has preached for 6 years. I have preached for 6.5 years. When I come look at his church, there are 2,000 people. He drives a brand new Mercedes Benz. You come to Kano, we're only 150. 180. On a good day, maybe one will do Thanksgiving and invite our friends. We may hit 300 for that day. Okay, I have not. This car I saved for 6 years. That period. He said he will go and say, God, what is going on? Those are the cares of the world. Alright? They overwhelm people. And when you're overwhelmed, suddenly your manner, your ministry looks uninteresting. Then you now want to launch it to another area. That's when you now say that, yeah, since yesterday, God has been calling me that we have to take this ministry to another level. What you thought you would never do, you will begin it. This is what I'm saying. Alright? It didn't start with the tastelessness of manner. It started when something broke the connection between you and God, and the true manna of God was no longer flowing into your spirit, suddenly the physical manna lost taste. Now, I went into the tent to explain what is the rest of God. I said the Bible says that the man who enters into God's rest has ceased from his own works. That is, indeed, God has called you to be something in life. A lot of times, he gives you visions and ideas concerning those things. Then he gives you the work to do for that day. And for the day, alright, that you are doing that work, each day you do that work, you are moving closer to destiny. Even though physically it does not look like that. Are you getting my point? Now, in that rest of God, what produces the destiny? What produces the results? That's what I'm talking about. Listen to me. It is the constant infusion of the word of God. He said, go to the book of the Lord and read. Listen to this. None of these shall fail, neither will any lack its mate. This is the reason. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore his spirit has gone out and gathered them. What I mean is that if God has a word over your life, the word of God is not advice or good methods. The word of God is power. Do you understand my point? It cracks doors open that were closed. It gathers, he said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. That is, if the people that you need to show you favor, are right now in Australia, God will tell them, my family come enter a plane and come to Nigeria. You have to meet my son. You have to meet my daughter. Friend of mine recently was giving me gist. He said, Banky. He said, you know my friend. I said, they work in the company. It's part of the company that his friend owns. Or it's part of the company. They own businesses together. He said, he does not give bribes. Many jobs, big jobs in this country, they are bidded for. People will come and tell them, this is my own. You put 25% for me. And the guy will say, no. Listen, I did not come to this level like this. I am not going to progress from here like this. Then recently, he told me that they bidded. No. They got to meet this government official. And then the man saw their profile. And said, how come nothing from our state is inside here? He said, no, you guys must do something for us. He said, that guy said, I ain't bribing nobody. I did not get here bribing people. I won't leave this level to another level bribing anybody. Now, what am I saying? This is how the word of God works. It doesn't just give you instructions. When it tells you, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. What it means is that once I tell you something, it then has gone out trying to engineer. The major problem is that we keep on hindering the word of God from producing his works. When we don't cease from our own works. Do you get my point? And one major reason we can't cease from our own works is because a man can't be idle. We have not located the work of God. So we got to do something. And this is what I'm saying. You can't locate the work of God except the word of God is constantly entering inside your heart. Listen. Church going is not about attendance. Christianity is not about how many times was that Bible study. No. The Christianity is about, is the word of God entering me? Because if it does not enter, because there are two steps. One, it must enter. I must believe is step number two. Before it can take me into the rest of God. And when I have entered into the rest of God, God begins to do his own work. He said, he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. The first stage to entering God's rest is to attend to the word of God. Listen, I told you that this is one area I love to preach to Christians. Manna is tasteless. Because we have stopped eating spiritual manna. The reason why you are whining and complaining about where you are walking right now, listen to what I'm saying. The reason why you are whining and complaining about your situation in life right now, the reason why you are whining and complaining about these things that you have not been able to do, the reason why you are bored and tired of life currently is because you have not been feeding yourself with the word of God. That's all. There's no second reason. Listen, except the word of God fills you, life is annoying. You think your problem is that you don't have a good job. You think your problem is that you have not married. You think your problem is that you don't have children. You think your problem is because you have not made money. Go and read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I have so much money, no king before me in Israel had money like that. Yet I looked at it and I was tired of life. And I said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. He said, therefore, I said, I will kill this vanity feeling. So you know what next thing I did? I chased after drinking. I drank and made sure my wisdom was still guiding me. He said, I discovered it was in itself vanity. That I was using emptiness to pursue the feeling of emptiness away from my heart. He said, okay, I'll become foolish. You know what it means to be foolish? I'll wake up in the morning and not do anything. When they say they are abused to be signed, I'm the governor or the president. I won't sign it. Let the worst that will happen happen. He said, after 2 days, I realized that foolishness was madness. So I said, I'll be very wise. I'll be smart. I found that smart people die. He said, I gathered for myself a whole harem. Afterwards, I found out. I told all those women he married, it was an experiment. After that, I found out that there's nothing better than for a man to be just with the wife of his youth. That is, he was more confused as a very rich man who had access to everything than those who didn't have anything. He said, I discovered that what happens to the rich happens to the poor. That, look, when we finish the book of Job, we'll take a glance at this. We'll look at it. He said, I discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to, that is, he said, how did he say it again? He said, fear God. He said, the summary of everything is fear God. Obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Let me summarize Ecclesiastes for you, all right, in one sentence. All that's in Ecclesiastes for us to understand that life is meaningless without God. To the rich, it is meaningless. To the poor, it is meaningless. To the average, it's absolute madness. There is no meaning. So what we do is that we attack our current situation as a cause of our discomfort in life. So when NEPA takes your life 3 times, you start whining. And I don't know what's going on. The truth is that your heart is detached from God. So the meaninglessness of life is attacking you. You run to America because they took light. The first 1 month, there's no light failure. You understand? No power failure. Then after that, you discover there's what they call economic crunch. There are no jobs. This and this starts. Then you get a good job. They tell you, we are taking 1/3 of your income as tax. Then you start complaining again. I don't know this kind of country these people say they are building. In fact, I'm going back home. Then as you are packing, trying to see how you can start a business at home, you hear that your cousin was kidnapped. And they say, bros, I bet, send us $10,000 so we can complete the 2 million naira rescue plan. I bet, is it? Ransom, eh? Then you say, that's such a useless country. Why should anybody live there? Then you abandon your plan for coming back. You stay back. Then they lay you off. After a while, you're also going to read the book of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes. The vanity of all vanity. All is vanity. It's like just after the wind. I could have told you that 16 years ago. What's your problem? Why are things meaningless? Why is life meaningless? It's meaningless because you have cut the relationship between you and your God. Manna is tasteless because the people were not eating spiritual manna. That's all. Let me summarize so that I can close on time. I don't want to keep us for too late. The summary of it is this. There is a rest of God that God has prepared for us, his children, to enter into. In that place of rest, the word of God, which takes us in there, all right, goes out to gather the things of our destiny. In that place of rest, we have ceased from our own works, but we are doing the work that is of God. And our hearts are at rest. Listen to me. Life has 2 levels. I keep on saying it. There's a spiritual side, and then there's a material side. The material side manifests after the spiritual one is in place. They were in the wilderness, Exodus 14, where they began to whine and grumble against what their lives were experiencing. Are you getting my point? Yet, what did God require? He wanted them to be at peace with God at that point. But if they had been at peace, would they have been the promised land immediately? No. They still would have journeyed through a portion of the wilderness, all right, and entered eventually into the promised land. But they would have entered shortly. What am I saying? First, they will have entered rest, the peace of God in their hearts. Then, it will have manifested outwardly. That is, the first place we walk is where we are right now to achieve the rest of God in our hearts. It's not to achieve it outside. Let me say it to you again. Life is very confusing. Without God, it's meaningless. I hate watching football. After yesterday, I renewed my vow not to watch football again. And I told God as much, since he didn't answer all my prayer to let Ghana win that game. So I won't watch again. You know who disqualified Ghana? It was God. Only God does such things. Did you see it? So that I don't even watch match again. I knelt down, prayed throughout the penalty. I wasn't watching. I went to my room. Then suddenly something happened. I started praying. Suddenly in my heart, I began to give thanks. And I was rejoicing. I don't know why. I just knew that win or lose, I have the joy of the Lord. And of course, after that win or lose, hallelujah, I said, Baba God, don't even talk about football with me again. I'm not watching again. I swore in my wrath I shall not watch football again. Abba. What am I saying? Life can be very annoying. Look, it can be very annoying. Don't think it's for the poor man or the struggling man. It's for everybody. Look, you have plenty of money, have everything. You will look at, look, the countries that are most prosperous in the world, all right, have one of the highest suicide rates. I don't know which country somebody told me about. See, young men have nice jobs, you know, working in good companies, paying them a lot of money. They have everything. They don't know the meaning of power field. In fact, they think power is connected to the sun. You understand what I'm saying? Since the sun's always shining, why shouldn't there be power? They don't understand that things can go up. They live in nice apartments. They don't have to think about buying a car. They work, so the company gives them the car. That is like Toyota will give you a Toyota, BMW will give you a BMW. They just be taking small money as you are. Well, you know, they don't, but yet. So young men wake up in the morning. They don't dress so, You all look, he's living on the 25th floor. You all look outside. Say, what will it be like if I just decide to jump? And the guy will decide to jump. And you, that is no explanation. To the, you know, to the Nigerian, to the African boy, he can't get the point. He said, he jumped, killed himself, and left a Lexus 490 behind? That's what the boy is thinking. No, if they give me less, I will never die. Like I say, he's speaking out of the experience of poverty. He thinks that prosperity is the key. The lie. And then you go look and say, why? The reason is because there's nothing you can do about it. Life is meaningless in itself. It is, absolutely. The only thing that gives life meaning is our relationship with God. We will go to trials, I know. But the midst of trials, actually, that's what I wanted to preach to you. So let me start. Since the Holy Spirit led me that way, let me just start the one I wanted to preach before, and I close with it. In the midst of trials, in that wilderness, the thing that will have given those people rest, like I said, of course, is to be feeding themselves with the Word of God. With that, they will have known that God is with them at all times. On Tuesday last week, we explained something. Job said, why is God even paying attention to my case? How can a small fry like me offend him and he'll be getting angry? You know that kind of thing? He didn't understand that he was very vital to God. Let me tell you something. The very number of hair that is strands, the strands of hair on your head, God knows them. Now, I don't mean he knows the number of hair strands, follicles upon the head of human beings. I say he just speaks, say, Jonathan, the number of hair on your head, there are this, this, and this. And if I plug this one out, this is number 1,272 in the list. That's how closely God attends to your life. That's a matter of fact. Listen, as Christians, we understand that. The problem we have, let me just say this, I know my time is up, I just want to say these things. The problem we have is wrong teaching. We have been taught that the reason why we have problems is because there's a curse, you know, in our family. Let me tell you, you can see anything you want to see. When those Ghanaians will get back home, some people will organize a deliverance meeting. They say it's a near miss syndrome. You've not been to church. They're always doing deliverance from such things. And under here, I just laugh. They should flock some people who call themselves preachers. We are preying upon the fears and the ignorance of people. Listen, it is not because of any curse that you are not doing well. Do you hear what I said?
Yes,
unless you are not a Christian, or you decide to be walking in sin. In which case, the problem is iniquity. It's not, there's a curse that your great-grandfather sinned. So right now, you know, we are going to break the curse over your family. And I hear that every time. I hear it all the time. And I always laugh. Hey, these pastors, don't they read the Bible? He said, Pastor, what God do you mean? Read the Bible. Just ask yourself, when did Jesus go around breaking curse over anybody's family? There's a curse in this house. We are going to have a 3 days prayer and fasting. On the third day, we break bread. As we are breaking the bread, the curse is broken. I just start laughing. Pastor, why are you laughing? Because it's a lie. One of my friends said to me the other day, he said, how come every preacher will come and say, today, we are going to break. He said, listen, they've been breaking these things for years. There should be nothing left to break again. You have been breaking this thing for years. There should be nothing left to break. If you have not read it, go and read the book, Triumphant Church. I can't preach everything. Go and read Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, even he did it. He did deliverance services, loosening meetings, setting free meetings, open door meetings, open heaven meetings. At the end of the day, as they were bound at the beginning, so were they bound at the end. The entrance of thy word gives light. Do you understand my point? If men will feed themselves with the word of God, they will discover the real liberty that God has given them. And no devil holds the child of God down. The bondage that lack of connection with the word of God puts you inside, the laying on of hands and the breaking anointing can never pull you out of it. I hope you hear what I said.
Yes.
Listen, I've said many things. I hope you've learned something here.
Yeah.
Because I have talked. And the point I'm making is this. Let me just say it again. Alright, this is a summary of it. Life is tasteless. Manna is tasteless if we don't eat the real manna. If we eat the real manna, which is the word of God, are you getting my point? We will discover real meaning to life. And each day we will discover that there is a work of God. A man who is doing the work of God. Sorry, I didn't say who is going to church. Who joined Kingdom World Ministries full time and abandons the job he's doing. I'm not saying that's what the work of God is. For somebody, that may be the work of God. Are you getting my point? Yes, it may be. In fact, for me, it is the work of God. But I'm saying that it doesn't have to be. There will be something that's the work of God for you. When you have drunk of the Spirit of God by His Word, your heart enters into peace. And then you enter into what may even appear monotonous and is not making progress like everybody else thinks progress should be defined. Yet, you don't feel there's a problem with you. Let me just add this one. If you ever settle down and start using Ngozi, Amaka, who else? All your friends to measure your life. You are about to understand what they call the opposite of the peace of God that passes understand. This is the confession of the devil that you can really understand. It will soon come upon you. Do you understand my point? There's a peace of God that passes understanding. Then there's a confession of the devil that you can understand how it's coming, because you will see how much you have not yet achieved. If you ever start that, that is, of course, like I said, it is the world that's weighing you down with its cares, cutting off your supply of the Spirit. Suddenly, every good thing that God has given you becomes manna. What is this? Are you getting what I'm saying? Suddenly becomes what? What is this? This is all there is here. My wife was telling me something she read in a book a few days ago. A man and another are talking to themselves. Write down all the things that God has done for you, all your blessings in life. One began to list blessings. My blessing, my car. my house, my this, my that. These are all those worldly possessions that he has. And that guy wrote down his blessings. He said, last week I was able to help this person. 3 weeks ago, I was able to help this person. Oh, my family, that's a blessing. After he listed, the other man looked at him and said, I feel like an idiot. That suddenly he was able to see something that he was not seeing before. That there's a way to count blessings. Listen, all these things will never come except you attend to the word. I don't want to start on that now because my time is gone. And once I start that, I can't leave it. Listen, I want to make this statement and then I close. The degree of God's destiny that manifests in your life is directly proportional to the amount of the truth of God you imbibe every day. Success for the Christian is not from labor, it's by the manifestation of the word of God. Jesus said, take care how you hear. It is as you hear the word that life measures out the destiny and the blessings of God to you. Do you hear what I said? He didn't say, take care how you go to church. What am I saying? If you go to church and you don't hear anything, you may as well stay at home. So if you go to church, determined to hear. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's why I tell you all the time, Kingdom World Ministries, nobody mills around when I'm preaching. Not because I don't like the help you are helping me by milling around, but I hate the disservice you are doing to your own soul. Let me say it like this. It is not possible to drink of the true manna, which is the word of God, and destiny will not suddenly show upon you one day. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can go to school, get masters, get this, get that, and you see a man who spent the amount of time that you spent acquiring natural degrees, feeding his life with the word of God. He will build a company so large, by the time you come out with your PhD, everything, he will give you a job. If the work of God for you does not include getting extra degrees, don't bother. If it is for you as a Christian, a way to go faster in life, just forget it. Am I saying degrees are bad? You know, I keep on saying, I didn't say that. My wife is not looking for a job, yet she has applied for an MSc in University of Nigeria, Enugu campus, and she has an MBA, and she has a BSc in accounting, and almost finished ICAN, except that she married me. She's threatening to finish it. No, yet. This year, we said, okay, time for another master's program, and she's not planning to beg anybody for a job. It's just that learning is good. I said, the experience you have in doing private business, go and see how the academic sector talks about it. Maybe one day you'll be able to teach somebody what you have learned in a formal setting. People were doing businesses before business schools were started. You know that? So I'm not saying learning is, you shouldn't go and get a degree. But if you think, if breakthrough is what you are looking for, go home, take leave, buy tapes. Good enough, I love MP3 CDs that we have, Kingdom World. Take a few of them, lock door. That is what they call fasting. Fasting is not hunger. I don't want to go into that again. Fasting has nothing to do with hunger. A man fasting can eat. All this idolatry we practice, you punish your body with hunger, you can't even concentrate. You sit down there, say, God, now, but this hunger won't finish me. Tell me you are praying. I tell people, if you are fasting and the hunger won't let you pray, get up, go downstairs, collect 2 slices of bread and a glass of Milo. Eat it. That's an easier way to cast out the demon of hunger than all this prayer you are praying. Yes. Go back upstairs to wherever you have locked yourself and tune up the message again. When the Bible says, meditate there in day and night, didn't say, hey, this is my company. It has been built. It's my company. That's not what the Bible called meditate. I will talk about it again, how Christians meditate. The meditation of the Christian is the word of God. David said, heard it. Thy testimonies are my meditations. That is, you take Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Father, I say concerning you, you are my refuge. I say concerning you, you are my helper. I say concerning you, you are my defense. That's meditation. Meditation is not. That's not meditation. Christian meditation means to mutter. Literal Hebrew says, thou shalt mutter therein day and night. That's why I said, this book of the Lord shall not depart from thy what? Mouth. But thou shalt meditate. Meditate is to put in your mouth. If I say, I don't like that, look, let me tell you what fasting is when it comes to food. The opposite of fasting when it comes to food is feasting, not eating. And now I'm shocking you. My wife, you know, it's not only you. My wife said, you are the strangest Christian I've ever seen when she first met me. What? You know why I'm explaining that to you? The opposite of fasting is feasting. Therefore, if you are not even eating, but you have gone for birthday party, you are not fasting. Even though all you do is sit down there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there, what are they doing? They are feasting. You are in the midst of feasting. You don't need to eat. You've already broken the fast. If in the midst of your fasting, Argentina and Germany starts playing, you may as well eat. Because you have been distracted from spiritual things and you are watching worldly matches. It's not a sin, but the fast has ended. So why don't you just go and eat? You see, people just get up and say, I'm fasting. Meanwhile, he's a salesman. He goes to work morning till night. He's hungry. He tells me he's fast. That day you sold 5 million naira worth of equipment and you are fast. My emphasis is not even about fasting. My emphasis is about the real fast is when a man sets himself aside and takes the word of God into a corner and puts off that stupid Nokia or Sony Ericsson or Motorola, whatever it is that he's using. If you can never put off your phone because you are expecting business, you can never prosper. They can call. Why won't they? If they won't call when you are available, they should forget the business. You won't prosper with it. My friend, when I was telling him about it, I was telling him about that, his friend. He said, when the guy said it's time to go and meditate, he said he doesn't care. The minister of Nigeria, a minister of the Republic, can't get him on the phone. He will quench the phone. If it's a man whose phone is on, you can be checking whether I can answer or I can't answer. If you don't quench, and if you answer from where they don't quench, MTN has a very nice voice. The number you are calling is not available at this moment. He's meditating the word of God. Please try again when he has broken through. Christian meditation, this is what it is. Now, book. You will settle down, put the message on, close your eye like this. And they are talking. That's what prayer is. I told him, I asked my wife the other day, why are you always reading great? I mean, I, your husband, taught you everything in great faith can be yours before I wrote the book. And before it was published. Yet you carry the book every day you are reading. I said, why are you only reading this book? He said, my husband, this book makes me pray. Suddenly I had understanding again. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not that which is born out of hunger. I've told you, I've warned you about this hunger and this worldly matters. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Those things are added. Prayer is that which comes out of your mouth when the word of God challenges you. When people show what God is doing in their lives, they say, ah, God, you mean the word of God has not affected him to this level? You take the word and you start praying about that is prayer.